very familiar passage. This morning, we'll meditate on it. Luke chapter 24, we are reading from verses 13 to 35. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Here, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. The Lord will definitely bless the public reading of his holy scriptures. Now, Luke's gospel is one of the most wonderful gospels in the New Testament. I had mentioned earlier also here in this assembly that often we neglect the gospels. In fact, there is a trend in everybody's life, especially believers' life. We think when we are saved, that is the time we read the Gospels. But then as we grow, we think Gospels are very simple. Now I can progress to the epistles. And then we come to a stage where we think, now we must start Revelation. But I can assure you, as you grow in your life, and if you are enjoying the Lord, you will always come back to the Gospel. Now let me just say a couple of things about Luke's Gospel. First of all, this is the 42nd book in the New Testament, in the Bible. Now, we say 39 in the Old Testament. And then as we count, this is the 42nd book in that order, if we see. And I'm sure believers will remember, when Matthew wrote the genealogy of Lord Jesus Christ, he mentions him as the 42nd man who has come into this world. We know he divided the genealogy of Lord Jesus Christ into 3 parts. And the 42nd man is our blessed, perfect Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know in Luke's gospel, the theme is Lord Jesus as the perfect man. The complete man we have in the Luke's gospel. The fairest man, the lovely man, the unique man we have in Luke's gospel. Now today we read a verse. That is, I think, verse 19. And there we read, he was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I want you to note these 2 words. He was mighty in deed and in word. The same thing is said about Moses in the New Testament. But there the order is reverse. He was mighty in words and in deeds, we read in Acts chapter 7. But concerning our perfect Savior, it says, he was mighty in deed and in word. What is the difference between these 2? You see, all of us have an imbalance in our Christian life. Especially those of us who are preaching, we have a lot of imbalance. Many times what we are saying, it is not matching with what we are doing in our life. But in our Savior, they are perfectly in balance. Now, again, it is an exercise in Luke's Gospel. There are 20 miracles and there are 20 parables our Lord Jesus has did and spoken in Luke's Gospel. They are always in perfect harmony. What he spoke and what he did, you will always find they go together. That is why later on when Luke wrote another book to Theophilus, he said about Lord Jesus, what he began both to do and to teach. Now there are so many other unique things in Luke's Gospel. Now I want to relate it to the passage that we read today. See verse 13 and 14. It says, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Please note in Luke's Gospel, number of times you will find twos are mentioned. You remember, in Luke's Gospel only we read, a father had two sons. It is only in Luke's Gospel you will find that it is mentioned, Lord Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were two who were talking to him there. It is Luke only who says there are two men who went into the temple to pray at the same time. So often in Luke's Gospel, you will find two are mentioned together. In fact, again, it is an exercise, especially so many. Yesterday we were talking, there are so many young believers in this assembly. I think it is a very good exercise to read Luke's Gospel. And see, in the first 15 chapters, there are 16 pairs of two each which are mentioned. There is Zacharias, there is Elizabeth, there is Joseph, there is Mary, there is the widow woman whom Elijah performed a miracle, and there is Naaman, a man upon whom Elisha performed a miracle. You can go on like that in the first 15 chapters, so many pairs you will find in Luke's Gospel. And here also we have a pair. One of their names is mentioned, Cleophas. And it is also mentioned in verse 13, they went the same day to a village called Emmaus. Actually, they were on a journey. Again, you must note in Luke's Gospel, there are so many journeys which are mentioned. You remember right in the beginning, there is a journey the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ took from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And then back from Jerusalem to Nazareth. I'm sure even children know the journey of that man in the parable called as Good Samaritan. We all know the journey of the younger son in the parable in Luke chapter 15. And here also we have a journey too. Most probably, I take it, it was a husband and wife who were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus that day. And it says they were going to a village named Emmaus. Again, Luke's Gospel is a gospel of villages. We read about the village of the Samaritans who refused to accept the Lord Jesus. Then we read he went to another village. Then in the next chapter we read of two sisters who welcomed him to their home. The village of Martha and Mary. We read in Luke chapter 10. Only in Luke's Gospel you will find these are unique things. In Luke's Gospel you will many times read conversations. Verse 14 says they were on the journey. They were going to a village and they both were talking to each other. And in Luke's Gospel, so many times you will find conversations are mentioned. The shepherds, when angels appeared to them, they conversed with one another concerning what they heard and what they saw. We all know about that old lady, Anna, probably more than 100 years, to everybody in Jerusalem. She spake concerning him. And even when the Lord was transfigured, as I mentioned, Elijah and Moses, it is written, they were conversing concerning his exodus. Now, I hope I'm not giving too much work for you to do. If you feel it is not too much, let me give one more work to do. Luke's Gospel is a gospel of houses. In fact, there are 12 homes which are mentioned in Luke's Gospel. And this is one of the homes, home of Cleophas, we have in Luke chapter 24. Now the distance, it says, from Jerusalem to the village was 60 furlongs. Threescore furlongs is almost, brother, say 10 to 12 kilometers. Yes, you are almost correct. It is 10 to 12 kilometers. And I take it on an average speed, it must have taken around 3 hours for them to reach that village. And I also take it that they were walking as they were going all the way. And then we read as they were walking and going, they were definitely very much discouraged in their life. Actually, they were leaving God's center, God's place, Jerusalem, and they were going back to their village. Now, we also should remember that one of their names is mentioned as Cleophas, and they were very, very ordinary disciples. In fact, if you turn to Luke chapter 24, if you see verse 9, it says, "And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." To the rest. And I take these two disciples comes in that category called as the rest. They were not prominent disciples. They were not public figures. They were just ordinary believers. But how touching and how tender it is to note, when the Lord rose again that day, He had these two in mind. And the Lord particularly appeared to them. And if my calculation is correct, 3 hours the Lord gave only to these two disciples. Now that should be an encouragement to many of us here. Nobody is here whom the Lord does not value. If there is any heart which is discouraged, the Lord knows that. The Lord wants to draw near to them. And the Lord wants to encourage them. And the Lord wants to bring them back to the center. As we read this passage, I take it that that day when they both were walking and going, I think it is a very good thing both were talking together. Sometimes we can be walking together, but we are not talking together. We say, we are not on talking terms nowadays. We are not able to see eye to eye nowadays. But how much they were discouraged, at least one good thing is there, they were talking with each other. And many times that is how God wants us to be, especially if it is a family. Now this passage does not say it was a husband and wife, but I take it it was a husband and wife. Two reasons I'll give for that. One is, you see, they invited the Lord to their house. I don't know how many brothers are here who will have the courage to invite if the wife is not there. In fact, we find very, very good that time to say, "Oh, my wife is not there, so I have not. Otherwise, I would have done so much for you. But she is not there, so you understand my problem." So I take it, it was a home and it was a husband and wife. And that is where the Lord went. Now, please see verse 25. The Lord said, "Slow of heart to believe." Okay. And then see verse 32. It says, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Now, those of us who have English Bible, please note it says in singular. The word heart is in singular. That means how two have become one. That is how it should be in a family. Both are talking together. Both are communing together. Both are walking together. Then we read both are gathered together. And we find it is mentioned one heart. One flesh may be physical, but one heart has to be spiritual when it comes to the things of the Lord. Anyway, they were walking and they were talking and they were going back to their village. Now see verse 16. In 15 it is written, the Lord drew near, and then in verse 16 it is written, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Yes, I think again I take it in this way, that the Lord appeared to them invisibly that time. That means the Lord is now walking with them. But their eyes were closed. They could not see that He is there. Just like today. The Lord is there. We all sing, we pray, we remember. But we are not able to see Him. So I take it, the Lord drew near, but He did not reveal Himself. And I take it for some amount of travel, the Lord was only standing and listening to what all they are talking actually. Now that should set alarm bells for many of us. What are we talking? What do we talk when we are alone? What is our conversation? Do we know the Lord stands by? I don't know, but many homes we have that well-known frame. What is that frame? Christ is the head of this house. And then one line says, He's the silent listener to every conversation. One way it is correct. Whatever we are talking, he is listening. He knows it. He is aware of it. But I think the other part may not be true. He is not just a silent listener, dear believers. So these two disciples, they were talking. Thankfully, they were only talking about the Lord. They were talking about the things which happened in Jerusalem. And as they were talking, I think a stage came when the invisible Lord actually became visible to them. But still, they could not recognize him. As today morning we read, like Mary, she could not recognize him. Suddenly they saw a third person is walking with them. And then the Lord asked them, what manner of talking is this? And the Lord also said one important thing. You are talking, you are walking, you are communing, but your face is very sad. Lord not only reads our heart, he even reads our face. And many times the face of believers will reflect what is going on in the heart. Now, I don't mean a believer who is always smiling, laughing, as if he is always enjoying the Lord. Not necessary. Some of the deepest spiritual life believers, they have very serious countenance. That also is equally true. But many times, what is inside, that will be seen in our face. That is what King Artaxerxes also told Nehemiah. Why is your face sad? So the Lord asked them this question, why are you sad? And then we find Cleophas is the first one who said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and you don't know what happened here all these days? Yes, sometimes when things are not going favorably, when we feel we are disappointed, when we feel that what we desire is not happening, many times that is the time when our tongue becomes very sharp. That is why in the house many times children say, don't talk to daddy now. He's not in a good mood. Because if you ask anything, gone. That day you will get a big firing. Cleophas also was very sharp in his tongue. And he told the Lord, are you a stranger in his Jerusalem? I think many times even with the Lord, that is how we talk. But how patient the Lord is. Not only he was just waiting and waiting. In fact, he did not tell what you are talking. He again asked them a question, what things? And then verses 19 to almost 24, we find there is a big narration of the things. And see verse 19, it says, when the Lord again asked what things, they said unto him. Quite possible this is the place where the wife took over. And she started pouring out her heart before the Lord. But what we need to see is, the Lord is so tender. He's so patient. He is such a good listener. I think especially in the ministry, it is very, very important to be a good listener. We must listen to the problems of the people. Many times when they pour out their heart, I think half of the problem is over there itself. Do we do that with the Lord? Do we pour out before his presence? The Lord is very patient in listening to us. And then we find a stage came when the Lord started speaking to them. Now I want you to note in verse 25 to 27, a little word comes three times. 25 to 27, the little word is all. All that the prophets have spoken. All the prophets beginning at Moses. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So I want you to note this little word, all. I think many times we miss God's full program for our lives, and we are only occupied with our small thinking, our small mind, and our small imaginations. These disciples, they loved the Lord, but they had only limited understanding, only limited vision. Beyond that, they did not understand, they did not see. And many times, that is the reason why we become despondent, discouraged, disheartened. We need to see what is the all purpose of God behind whatever may be my situation. Lord is wise. Lord is good. He will never grieve the sons of men willingly. His thoughts concerning me are good and not evil. All things work together for good to them who love God. I may not understand my situation, but when I remember the all purpose of God, that gives me peace. That gives me assurance. That gives me confidence. Now, dear believers, I want you to listen carefully. You see, if the Lord in the beginning itself had told these two disciples, "Why are you sad? See, I am the Lord. I died and I rose again. You see and you believe me." Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Beginning itself, he could have showed them his hands. But he did not do that. Almost from Genesis to Malachi, he went through the Bible. I think 1 hour becomes very heavy for us. But the Lord 3 hours went with them with the Bible. But why didn't he in the beginning itself tell them very clearly, "See, it is I died and I rose again." I take this is the reason. You see, had the Lord done that, even if he had done after a few minutes, he would have gone. Even after 40 days, he was to go to heaven. But they never would have come back to the Bible. But now they had the Bible with them. And the Lord is gone, but the Bible is in their hand. And that is what the Lord wants to do in our life, dear believers. He wants to bring us back to the Bible. It is in the Bible we have revelation concerning him. That is why don't give too much importance to wonderful experiences in your Christian life. They are good, they are encouraging, but they are not everything. It is only scriptures, God's word, which can give me encouragement, even though these things can come and go. The meditation, the joy, the food of my heart should be God's holy scriptures. And then we read in verse 28, when they neared their village, the Lord, he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 28, last line. Why did the Lord do that? No doubt he was a perfect gentleman. He did not want to force himself to their house. But then we read, they constrained him. "Abide with us. It is toward evening. The day is far spent." And then he went in to tarry with them. The Lord will never ever force his way into your life. Now I know I'm talking to believers. Even as believers, we must remember that he says, "If any man wants to follow me, let him take up his cross and let him follow me." He will never compel. He will never deceive us. He will never lure us into following him. But I'm sure that day when they were walking on this highway, they enjoyed the Lord so much. Now they did not want to leave him. They said, "Lord, you come into our house." Now, two things I want you to remember in this, dear believers. They were not just satisfied with the Lord in their halls. They wanted the Lord in their house also. That is why they said, "You come into our house." And that's why I told you, you must read in Luke 12 houses which the master visited. Is the Lord in your house? Is the Lord with you in your holidays? Is the Lord with you in your hobbies? Or is the Lord only there when we come to the hall? That is not acceptable to the Lord. Secondly, the Lord will never constrain or force. With love, I must tell him, "Lord, you come into my house, into my heart, into my life, into every area. I want that you should control." Maybe many things from the house and heart has to go out. We need to make room and way for the Lord to come in. If it is already filled, where will he come in? Yes, many things will go when the Lord comes in. But that is the greatest comfort and enjoyment we'll have in our life. And I'm sure they got more than what they gave actually. Now there are number of believers here who are in the evening of their life. The word is, abide with us. And the Lord abode with them that day. And the Lord blessed them. And then we know when the Lord gave thanks for the bread, that is the time they came to know. And then the Lord just disappeared. And same time they got up and they went back to Jerusalem. When they started, they were slow of heart. But now they were burning heart. Afternoon they were dragging their feet to their village. But now in the night they are hastening and going back to Jerusalem. Where did they get this strength? The Lord gives the strength. Please remember, they left Jerusalem, the house of God. They were going astray from the word of God. And they were going away from the people of God. One by one, the Lord brought them back. First to the word of God. Then to the people of God. Then to the house of God. And what a wonderful meeting it was that day evening. Peter was there. Mary was there. These two disciples were there. Other 11 were there. All were failures. But all were restored back to the Lord. And what a meeting it was that evening when the Lord appeared in their midst. The Lord revived their heart that evening. And I think many of us need a revival in our heart. It only comes when the Lord draws near to us and we draw near to the Lord. May God bless the meditation of His Word.